You're listening to Louisiana Insider, a superlative guide to a great state's destinations, hosted by Errol Labor, executive editor of Louisiana Life magazine.
It's our Louisiana song. It's our favorite melody. It's our Louisiana song. Hearing it echo through the cypress tree.
If you ever been driving into Baton Rouge and like maybe you're a few miles out of Baton Rouge and all of a sudden you look up and you see this rocket ship in the distance. I have many times. It's just very imposing to see the Louisiana State Capitol there. And it looks like it's about to take off. All right. And maybe that was Huey Long's vision of something that was about to take over. That is the Louisiana State Capitol. And there is a documentary that Louisiana Public Broadcasting has done, and it's available now. We'll tell you a little bit how you can access it. It's a bit about the history of the Capitol and also about the architecture, which is just another story in itself. With me are Dorothy Kendrick, who's the she produces an LPB series called Art Rocks, and she's also the producer of this documentary, really clever name, A Tall Order, the Louisiana State Capitol. And Steve LoSavio, who is an architect with almost two decades, he works for the Louisiana Division of Administration. So, Dorothy, let's begin with you. Tell us, how did this documentary come about?
Earl, when we did the documentary on Angela Gregory, she had some reliefs on the state capitol. So, of course, we went out to videotape them. And while the photographer was out there, I told him to make sure you spray down, shoot as much as you can of the state capitol itself, because you've got the drones in the air. When he brought those pictures back and I took a look at them, I was totally in awe. I had been to the capitol many times because most of my career in broadcasting, over 40 years, has been in Baton Rouge. So I've had to go over there for many times. But I thought I saw things that I had never seen before. And I thought that everyone in the state, everyone living in the state of Louisiana, should have the opportunity to see our state capitol the way I got a chance to see it on that videotape. And of course, as with many things, we did not have the money to do that, to do the documentary, because we always start out with money to do projects. But I was able to convince my bosses that this really has to be done. And fortunately, since we've started working in, some money has come in, enough for me to be off the hook with my bosses for starting a project without the money.
Well, you think that had been a project that had been done a long time ago. I mean, it seems like a natural.
It is amazing because the architects clearly knew that eventually someone would do it. There are fabulous pictures in the Louisiana State Library and the libraries here in Baton Rouge, the Tulane Library. There are these, all of the letters, everything they kept. I don't know that anyone had gone through those records. They look untouched from the time they deposited them in the libraries, but they kept such great records. You could hardly envision somebody keeping the records the way they did without knowing a time would come where these records are going to be very important. So yes, they kept the records, and I really feel that it has been far too long. If you think about it, during the time the state capitol was built, we didn't have television. So there was no one to do it the way that we're doing. I'm just grateful and really so proud and so grateful to God that I've had the opportunity to do it, because when you're really looking through those records, it's almost as if you're feeling the president. Well, it was almost as if I was feeling the presence of the architects and Huey Long saying, it's about time.
Well, good for you to have such emotional feelings about that. By the way, you mentioned the documentary y'all did on Angela Gregory. We did a podcast on that too because of the documentary. And if anybody accesses it, LouisianaLife.com, and if you kind of search it and see the Angela Gregory documentary. Okay, Steve, as the architect, give us a personal tour of the things about the Capitol that excite you the most, that people should be aware of.
You know, I'm absolutely shocked when I hear people that have born and raised in Baton Rouge tell me that they have never visited the Louisiana State Capitol. It shocks me. It is one of our most fabulous treasures in the entire state, and actually one of the it's a treasure for the entire country. The fact that these guys in the 1930s could build this artifice in a little over a year for $5 million. And if you look at the stonemanship work in that Capitol, you'll just be astounded at how well it was put together. And then at the time, because people, it was during the Great Depression, we had some of the greatest artists and sculptors in the country working on that building. And it, obviously when you go see it, you can see those not only on the exterior, but on the interior. It's probably one of the last, I think once that Capitol was built, architecture started to turn. It went from the building kind of telling a story and memorializing Louisiana life to a more modern, you know, you wouldn't see that being built today, but it's actually, to me, it's just a piece of art standing 34 stories tall.
Just to add on to what Steve just said, I had an opportunity to read a newspaper article that Solis Seifert, one of the architects, he was here for the 50th anniversary. And one of the newspapers quoted him as saying, "We will never see this much artsmanship, this much craftsmanship in a building again." And I think that says a lot about the quality of the stone workers at the time, the ethics, the work ethic people had back then. I'm telling you a little bit out of the documentary, and I probably shouldn't, but our state capitol was built in roughly 14 months. It is loosely patterned after the Nebraska state capitol. It took 10 years to build that state capitol. And every image on that capitol represents something, a lesson that the architects work with artists to try to convey to the people of Louisiana. And I just wish that people could watch it and get the meaning behind everything, because they were very diligent in every move they made with the state capitol.
Now the capitol was approved in 1930 and then completed by 1932. That's amazing. That's amazing. I mean, we can't even get potholes fixed with that amount of time. That's amazing. Essential to the story, as is in so many stories about Louisiana, is Huey Long, though. This was during the reign of Huey Long, all right? And it was Huey Long who really pulled for this. And I think I'm sure it reflects Huey Long's ego. I mean, he really wanted to have a monument that stood out. And I guess he had a lot to do with getting it approved so quickly and getting things moving so quickly.
We have a historian, Alicia Long, no relation to the Long families. In fact, when I first talked to her, I did not think she was a big fan of the Longs. And whether she's a fan or not, I really don't know. But whether she's a fan or not, she had tremendous appreciation for how Huey Long got the Capitol built and the monument to Long, the big statue out in front of it. So, yes. The story of the politics at the time, that's all included in the documentary.
Right. We'll give us a little hint. Was there much of a fight to get it built, or did he pretty much get it quickly?
Let's say that Huey Long did not like the old state capitol, and he had a little trickery to make sure that state lawmakers at the time got the message that something else needed to be done. And I won't tell you what he did, okay. Some of the straws he went through, but there's also a major battle brewing with the New Orleans legislative delegation to get some of the things, because the biggest opponents were in New Orleans. But New Orleans got a lot out of the state just to get it built, including that Huey Long Bridge you have down there in New Orleans. But there's much more. You got to watch it to really get a full appreciation of the battles that went on. And yes, there were battles, and we include that.
So much in New Orleans, including not just the Huey Long Bridge, but the Superdome or all that, is a product of New Orleans legislators bargaining with the state and said, you know, we'll give you this if you give us that. You know,
and that's exactly the the professor, the history professor, uses that term carrot and stick. Yeah. And there were carrots and there was a stick.
Do y'all know the story about Mark Twain? He wrote a book about life in the Mississippi. And he refers to the state capitol. And
he was not a fan of the old state capitol.
Oh, he said, I think he said it's the ugliest building on the Mississippi. And he kind of compared it to old kind of Gothic architecture and old European buildings. That may have shook up things. I mean, it may have, made people think about it. So
I want you to know that Steve LoSavio there was probably the chief architect in restoring that lovely old building that some of us here in Baton Rouge have come to love. Yes.
Well, the old building still stands. I mean, it still exists. It's kind of like a museum. And it's still the chamber, the old legislative chamber. So it's good to see, but I can see it's hard to run a state out of if it be done. So Steve, give us an architect's description. Tell us what you like about it.
Well, the scale of that building is absolutely perfect when you're coming down 4th Street in Baton Rouge from about a mile or two away. And it's mirrored between the modern buildings that have been built over the decades, but the scale is just perfect. And when you get to the edge of the formal gardens on the southern border, I bring people there all the time to start the tour of the Capitol rather than drive them up to the front door, because when you arrive at the front door, you cannot appreciate the scale. But the architects meant for you to experience going through the formal gardens, experience the scale of that Capitol, and then flow into, you know, what the building is all about. The use of materials, it's just stunning materials, limestone on the exterior, the marble and granite on the interior, the artwork is fabulous. Now, I will say this, that the building in the past decade has experienced some what we call current situations. You know, that we've seen some of the stone shifted. We don't know if it was not properly anchored originally or if it's just old age. But back in the 60s, the Capitol was, they thought they were doing the right thing, but they to clean it, they sandblasted the limestone. Well, limestone's a soft material, so it etched the surface, and then they raked out all the mortar joints and caulked them. Well, that was the absolute worst thing to do. At the time, they thought it was the best thing to do. So on a project that I had in the 80s, we went back and did a chemical cleaning of the building and took out all the corner, put the original mortar mix back in, and it has been roughly 50 years, 40 years or so since the Capitol has been clean. It's currently going under a cleaning process. We're working our way around the building. We'll eventually get to the tower. As you can imagine, it's not cheap. And we're having to do it in pieces because each phase costs roughly $6 to $7 million. And eventually we'll have to scaffold the entire state Capitol, kind of like what they did to the Washington Monument in Washington, D.C. when they restored that.
Hope you never have to rid termites and have to put a tin over it like they do in houses. You know, that'd be a big job right there. Need helicopters for that one. So the building is 34 stories high. And maybe one thing that kind of discourages people a little bit is those steps. What is 49 steps that they have to go up?
There are 49 steps, but they're not very wide steps. To be honest with you, I mean, anyone in fairly decent shape, but Steve, I imagine there are other ways of getting in there. Yeah, you can go in from the back.
You can go in through the around below the steps, which was an areaway. But interestingly about the steps is the steps have the states as they were entered into the Union. So you have the 12 colonies on the lower tier, and you work your way all the way up to the 50. But when the Capitol was built, Hawaii and Alaska were not states. So what they did on the top state, they put Hawaii and Alaska on the same state parallel with the seal. So it's an interesting way to do it.
So if ever...
That was the reason for all of those steps too, Errol. They wanted, the architects wanted everything. There was a lot of thought that went into everything everybody did. They wanted anybody from anywhere in the country to feel welcome when they got to that Capitol. And what more of a welcome than to see the name of your state on those steps?
Yeah. So if Puerto Rico was ever admitted into the Union, you know, they have to maybe put it in there with Hawaii or build an extra step.
Well, what we're going to have to do is abandon that capital, build a third state capital in the United Louisiana, and we'll have three. We'll be the only state with three state capitals.
Yes, that is. You can make it the Baton Rouge City Hall, I guess. I mean, the tallest city hall in the world. Let's when people go to the Capitol and they're in the I guess you call it not the basement, but I guess the lobby on there, and they see the elevators, and the first thing you always hear is they'll see these kind of like holes in the wall, and they'll say, "Well, that's bullet holes from where Huey Long was shot." Is that true?
Yes, it is actually true. So when you come up the steps, you enter Memorial Hall. You have the Senate chamber on the left side, which is the western side, the House chamber on the right. The governor's mansion at the time was on that floor. It's now since moved to the fourth floor. But if you go around
the governor's office, right.
Yeah.
If you go around to the back of Memorial Hall, you can actually put your finger into the marble and feel one or two bullet holes that are still there to this date.
Wow, because I've heard some people say it's not true. So I'm surprised by your answer. I thought you would say, no, that's not true, but it is true.
Well, I wasn't there when Huey was shot, but...
Yeah, though. I mean...
If you look at the hole, it is a piercing, perfectly round hole that would be indicative of a high velocity bullet entering the marble. It's just... I don't know what else could have made it.
Yeah.
I think that the story is so ingrained. We're such a small place, really, as big as we feel we are sometimes. I feel certain the story is true. It is. It's everywhere with history, and I believe it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it's a better story to say, no, it was science or something. Yeah, it's interesting. And so ultimately, he was killed in the building that he created.
And the documentary Correct. Looks into that. It's all there.
Yeah. Who was the lead architect for the project?
There were three gentlemen, and believe it or not, they were all from New Orleans. Leon Weiss, Julius Dreyfus, and Solis Seifert. They all had attended Tulane. Two of them graduated from Tulane. The third one went to, was it Minnesota? I can't remember all of the details. But he went up there where the Beaux-Arts, and see if you can tell you about, that was a school in Paris, and there were schools in Lyon and Paris, France, that were teaching the Beaux-Arts style of telling stories through art on the building. And several of the architects and several of the artists had gone to that school. These people were educated. Well, one of them had gone to a teacher who taught at that school. The architect had gone to a professor who left that school in Paris and came to his university. So they'd all been taught by, it's amazing that this is truly a Louisiana story. Another thing, though, I found impressive is that the actual contractors were the same people who built the Lincoln Memorial.
Wow. Impressive. And was it true that this was during the Depression? So because of that, a lot of architects and artistic people were out of work, and so you were able to get some good people fairly.
It looks as though you've already watched my documentary. Yes, that's very true.
Okay. Well,
story, all of that is covered.
The story, which is probably true. So when they built the Capitol, they built the railroad spur around the Capitol to bring in all the materials. At the time, they needed laborers and workers, not the skilled people, but just a lot of laborers and workers. And people would literally stand along the fence line. And the story goes, if you didn't work fast enough or hard enough, they would just say, you're out of here, and grab the next guy on the fence line and bring him in to do, you know, the labor type work.
And you will be actually able to see, they actually built a train track up to the area of construction to deliver all of that stone from all over the country, and some say all over the world.
Wow.
So it was a well-greased machine to get it done.
What was that space before the Capitol was built there?
They had a few...
Go ahead, Steve.
Well, they had a few small buildings there, and actually they had a cemetery on site. I think during construction and excavation, they uncovered a few caskets, which would be a major major issue today, as you can imagine. But back then, they probably said, just relocate them to somewhere else. But if you look where the Pentagon barracks are, which was there in the mid-1800s, that's where LSU started on that site. They actually used to play their football games on a big field just south of the Pentagon barracks.
And the building was built, what it cost, $5 million. And from what I get, it's today that'd be worth $89 million. So I guess that was a good investment.
I'm going to guess it would be.
You're great. You've done some great research.
Well, you have good PR people working for you, too. So that helps also.
Oh, okay. I don't know what they do. I've been busy working on Art Rocks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, something I read, what would go on, if we would be like in the helicopter, we'd be flying by the very top of the Capitol, what would we see there? I mean, is there any artistry there? Any?
Yes. Up on the higher floors, there are four story allegorical figures on every face, the northeast, northwest, the four faces that represent philosophy, law, science, and art. And even above those, as the tower gets smaller, you have some flying buttresses. But an interesting thing about the Capitol is that the boiler is located in the sub-basement at the very lowest level, like two or three levels below the main hall. And the boiler flue snakes up the northwest corner of the building and actually vents out the top of the Capitol. If you look at the little tempietto or the lantern at the top, which is glass, and you see a gray round figure up there, that's the boiler flue. And on kind of cold days like today, where a little damp, you could actually see smoke coming out of the top of the Capitol. Now, the state has a project underway right now to relocate the boiler outside of the building. So that will eventually won't be used going forward. And whether or not the state captures the space that the boiler flue takes up, it's not a lot of space. Once you get past the main floors, that tower itself is a very inefficient tower. He was looking for the height. So once he got past the public floors, he just said, give me a tall tower.
Mm-hmm. I guess like all public buildings, like city halls and capitals, that they quickly get filled, and they've really had to build additions or find additions. I mean, you couldn't fit all state government in that capital.
No. So my career started when I was a young architect just out of LSU in the late 1970s. I went to work for an architect named Charles Schwing. Chuck got involved in the Capitol in 1970 when 10 days before the legislative session, someone went into the Senate chamber and blew the chamber rotunda up. And at the time, really? the Secretary of the Senate, who knew Chuck, said, look, we need to get this thing stabilized and just back it for use in 10 days. So Chuck actually sent one of his architects to the Capitol, his drawing board, and literally ripped drawings off this table, handed it to the architect. And in 10 days, they had stabilized the chamber. You know, they just used sheetrock and things like that just to get it safe. And then they opened up for the session. And as soon as the session ended, they hired Chuck to do a true restoration of the Senate chamber, where he did a lot of research on where the marble and the granite came from. And he went back and was able to recreate that chamber. So at that point, we kind of got control of the Capitol that had been, for lack of a better word, bastardized over the 40 years before then, because nobody was in control of the Capitol. People would steal stuff. They would destroy murals, furniture. They would just, at that point, the legislature hired Chuck to be the Capitol architect. And I started with him in early 1980s, and we're involved in many projects to restore that Capitol. But you're right, we've gone underground. We went underground in the 80s for the Senate. We went underground in the 90s for the House of Representatives because we didn't want to impose on the structure itself. And even underneath the steps, which was never meant to be occupied by offices, the House and the Senate, who were trying to get every square foot, wanted us to fill that space in. We had to put a roof system under the steps. We had deep beams. It was a nightmare project, but it is an absolute rat maze when you go down to that level. But you're right. It was inefficient.
Now, Steve, explain this, because I didn't. One of the things that this, when you talk about them, this is primarily, as I understand it, Senate and House committee meetings going on down there. Is this their staff down there?
So they never had committee rooms. And in the Capitol, because of the structural grid on the basement floor, that's where they embarked in the 90s to do Senate committee rooms and House committee rooms. If you go to some of those hearings, you'll actually see columns in the middle of the rooms. I mean, we obviously couldn't get rid of those, so we had to creatively design the viewing angles for the legislators on their dais. But those floors are full of committee rooms. And we do have a couple of new committee rooms that are unobstructed for the House underground.
You know, each fall, the book festival, Louisiana Book Festival, is held there on the Capitol grounds. And they use the Capitol. And some of the panels are held in the committee rooms, which is pretty cool, because one time I was on one of those panels and said, hey, look at me, man. You know, I'm sitting at that. On the committee seat, you know, so.
And next time you go, Errol, if you look at some of the committee rooms, we have different woods that are natural to the state of Louisiana, you know, pecan, oak, pine. So we just, you know, we tried to, you know, stick with the theory that it depicted Louisiana.
Okay, all that kind of stuff. Was that the architect's vision, or was there somebody else out there who needed to acknowledge you had the envision about, let's have woods that reflect the state?
Well, you see most of that in the, if you look at the friezes going around the state capitol and stuff. I don't know that much about the wood, but I think what Steve is saying is that when they built those floors underground, they basically carry on the legacy of the original architects by everything in that building meaning something, even that wood being harvested in Louisiana forests to make the lumber to do what had to be done. Because when you look back at the architects, everything, you'd be amazed at how much is up there and the significance of all of the meaning behind how much is up there.
So as an architect, you want to be the controller of everything on the project. Now, obviously you're working with your clients, but you want to make sure that every decision, every wall, every spatial aspect, every material that's put in a building would be determined by the architect, not the contractor. All we want them to do is build the building exactly like we show them how to build it. So the architects, when they built the original building, though, worked closely with the sculptors and artists where they wanted the different panels. And then they probably talked to them about what they wanted on the panels, but I think it was a collaboration effort. Working with all the artists.
Steve, I can tell you that I've looked at letters from Mr. Weiss, who was over the chief architect there. He was definitely the oldest. He was very meticulous about everything those artists did. If a bird was not looking the right way or its feet was not pointed the right way, he pointed that out to them. So it's amazing to me, as much as what's going on, that these people had the ability to look at every detail of everything.
Yes, it is amazing. Dorothy and I were fortunate enough to discover in the Louisiana State Archives the original pencil on vellum drawings of the state capitol. And these guys were not only technically proficient, they were artists in themselves. The drawings are—I would love to have a drawing on it framed in my house. That's how beautiful these drawings were to put this building together. Never mind the technical ability that they had to have to make sure everything worked and structurally aligned and things like that.
Have y'all looked at other state capitals around the country? Is there is this the grandest and the greatest state capital, or the most opulent, or the least functional, or I mean, what would you say about it compared to other state capitals?
Interestingly enough, just two or three nights ago, when I finally have this project at a point where I can dump it on somebody else's shoulders to finish it up, I looked at an internet. There is a site on the internet that ranks the state capitals based on how they look and where they're located, a lot of things. And the state capital that we patterned most after, Nebraska, was like the top 20. We were in the 30s, but you will hear another architect, what's his name? I can't think of it. He worked with me on this project. Michael Desmond talk about how spectacular it was that this building is located on the Mississippi the way it is, the location, the way the river, the little lake around it, is dammed up so that you can see the state capitol, the shadow from it. I think that when you look at the, I think they looked at it from a wide angle, but when you look at it up close, you can clearly tell that I don't think that when it comes to the artwork on it, I don't think anybody else compares. One of the big things that they were, that the governor wanted at the time, Governor Long wanted, was it to be tall, whereas most people had the dome tops. There's something that the theory that Steve could tell you about is reaching toward the heavens, whereas there's a biblical meaning or celestial meaning around the dome as well. These architects know all about that. But when I looked at the record, the rating of this gentleman, I was like, you're clueless after having listened to another a real architect talk about the symbolism in that building. He clearly didn't have the background to assess anything based other than based on what it looked like from a distance. I don't think he visited these state capitals.
So to go back to maybe your original question about it being the most opulent, absolutely not. I have visited a number of state capitals. Just recently was in Annapolis, and their state capital is absolutely stunning. And to think that it was built 100 plus years before ours, and look at the stonework that they had, it's just even as an architect, I go, how do those guys do that? I mean, incredible. But I will say this: I would put our chambers in our Memorial Hall up against any of the chambers in the rotundas that are around the country. They are absolutely stunning public spaces.
That'd be like the House Chamber and the Senate Chamber.
The Senate Chamber and the House Chamber. Yeah. I love the Senate Chamber. It's a little more intimate because we only have 39 senators, whereas we have 105.
Those are areas that a lot of people would see. I mean, anybody who would go visit the state capitol would surely, you know, go take a look inside the two chambers, so they're not hidden on some floor far away, and so that'd be a good thing to see. Is it true that Jimmy Davis once rode his horse down the steps in the Capitol?
I think they had, Dorothy, don't they have photographs
of that? I've seen the pictures of it, yes. I've certainly seen the pictures of it. Yes, he did.
Keep in mind, folks, there's 49 steps. And imagine you're riding a horse and you're having the horse go down all 49 steps. Dorothy, from what I know, this is a really excellent documentary. If people want to see it, now there have been some showings of it already, but if people want to access it, is there ways they can get it? And how would they go?
The documentary is available on the Louisiana Public Broadcasting webs, on a Louisiana Public Broadcasting site. I imagine if you go to the main page, there is a link that's going to point you to the documentary. But it will also, it also has its own page. We had the link at first, a tall order, and then we realized that it looked like it was at all order. So it is just tallorder@lpb.org.
Okay. We can, Tall Order. Okay. Yeah, that's the name of the document, which is, by the way, a great name. Okay. tall or
when I heard them telling us we wanted it built this fast and we wanted it this tall and, yeah. and want to tell the story of Louisiana and everything, it was the first thing that came to mind was that's a tall order.
Okay, if you go to lpb.org and /tall order, and that'll get you this in forever. So okay. Well, this has been fascinating. Let me ask you, 1 to 10, 10 being the best, how would you rate the Capitol?
You know, I tell people all the time that this would have to be Steve, because I tell people all the time, I'm a storyteller. I'm not an expert at anything other than telling stories. I don't know, but I can tell you that I have worked in television for more than 40 years, and it has certainly been, and I've covered a wide range of issues from oil spills to hurricanes and everything else in between over those 40 years. It has definitely been the greatest experience of my more than 40-year career.
I'm going to cheat on this answer. I would give the tower portion a 2 or 3. I would give the public spaces, the chambers and Memorial Hall, a 10. And I would give the scale of the building itself a 10. So maybe average out 8 if you had to bring in some of the inefficiencies of the building.
Okay, so we'd be a typical journalist here and emphasize the bad. What's the problem with the tower?
Well, so much of the footprint is occupied by the elevators and the stairwells. And we actually, in the 1980s, we walked the entire building with the state fire marshal. You couldn't build that building today like it is. It would nowhere meet code. We couldn't bring it up to today's code. So we had to do what we could do to make sure, you know, like sprinkle the building, make sure the corridors were fire safe, to get the people that work in the upper floors safely out of the building as fast as we can. But yeah, that footprint takes up maybe, I don't want to say a third, but almost a third of the footprint of the tower is dedicated to bathrooms and stairwells and elevators.
Yeah, that's not fun though. Yeah, okay. But the rest of it-
I consider that state government was much smaller at the time this building was built.
Yeah. But the rest of it balances out with everything else you said. Well, very impressive building. If people go to Baton Rouge, is there a way they can take a tour? Is there somebody they can go and buy a ticket and be shown around?
No, you don't have to pay to get into the state capitol. You just walk in there.
Okay.
It's but free. They have docents.
Excuse me?
They have, when you go up into Memorial Hall, they have docents there that will bring you around the building on a tour. And they'll give you some of the they'll take you back to the Huey Long assassination shot. They'll show you the pencil that's stuck in the Senate chamber from the blast in 1970. It's still there. Mm-hmm. So little stories like that are interesting. And they'll give some history of what the building's about.
And just for the record, Errol, it's my understanding that over the years, at least 25,000 people have visited that building each month, 25,000 a month. And many of them are school children, but when you learn the lessons of what this building stands for, it's a great thing that there are school children. And I hope that in with the documentary available, that school children will get a chance to learn a little bit more about architectural styles as well.
You know, it used to be. Go ahead.
You can visit the Capitol in the tower. You can go up to the 21st floor, which is an observation deck. And it's probably the best view in Baton Rouge. To the south, you see downtown Baton Rouge. You can see Tiger Stadium and LSU in the distance. To the west, you have the Mississippi River, which is an incredible view. And to the north, you have, you know, one of the largest refineries in the country in ExxonMobil. So it's, to me, if you wanted to see Baton Rouge in a nutshell, go to the Capitol, get up to the 27th floor and walk that observation deck.
Well, that sounds good, yeah. You know, it used to be, I don't know if it still happens, but it used to be like if a class, if a school would bring a bunch of kids to the Capitol and they'd always meet with their state representative from the district. And then after that, they'd go down to the cafeteria and get free ice cream. That was a tradition. I mean, you know, the representative, I guess they had something that they called up and said, give this class free ice cream. So maybe that contributed to the interest in the school kids. Anyway,
I think I missed that trip. I don't remember the free ice cream. I remember the trip, but.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't know. Maybe they didn't like your school with them. But anyway, thank you very much. This has been delightful and certainly whetted my interest in going back and seeing the state capitol. So again, the documentary, it's called
A Tall Order: The Louisiana State Capitol.
Tall Order, yeah, and it's
available on the Louisiana Public Broadcasting website. If you Google Louisiana Public Broadcasting A Tall Order, you got it.
And you can pursue it indefinitely, but don't wait. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. And thank you all for your work.
We appreciate you giving us some time to tell people about the documentary.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Louisiana Insider. Subscribe, like, and rate our show where you listen to your podcasts, and follow us on social media at Louisiana Life Mag. Executive producer for Louisiana Insider is Kelly Massico, in cooperation with Louisiana Life Magazine. For subscription information to Louisiana Life, call 504-828-1380. Our theme music was provided by Rich Collins. Hey, that's me. Join us again next week for more discoveries inside Louisiana.